We're glad you're here this morning. Hey, if you want to share the reading of God's Word with me and what the Lord has placed upon my heart, turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading this morning with that second verse. So James chapter 3, beginning with verse number 2. If you're in the book of Judges, you're in the wrong end of the book. Just saying. James chapter 3, verse number 2. James writes, and he says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body with that bit. Behold also ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." What does he mean by that? He's saying, I can burn your house down with one little spark. "Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, so that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, of birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue no man can tame. It is unruly, full of evil, and full of deadly poison." And I want to stop reading right there this morning. I ask that you bow your heads and let's pray together. Ask the Lord for his help this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit as we have sang and as we have worshiped. We come to the reading of your word and the ministry of your word. And Father, this morning I would pray that you would give me a divine ability to speak what you would have me to speak. Put your words in my mind, your word in my mouth. Let that word, I pray, come forth with clarity, sincerity, and with power. Let the anointing of your Holy Spirit, I ask, O God, touch our hearts, prepare us to receive your word today. I ask you this morning, Lord, that above all things, that Jesus would be glorified and that the people of God would be edified, that we may learn and that we may grow from the word of the living God. For all of these things, we will be eternally grateful and we will be eternally thankful. We ask them now in the precious name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. I want to title what the Lord has placed upon my heart this morning, "The Tongue, Productive or Destructive?" Productive or destructive? This morning I would like to bring to our attention the power that resides in our words or in our tongue. This is not a new word for some of us, but let me just say this morning emphatically that it is a very true word. And it has been many, many years since I have spoke along these lines, but this past week the Holy Spirit began to stir my heart and begin to speak to my heart about ministering to you this morning on the power that resides in our tongue. I want you to ask yourself this morning several questions. Do the words of my mouth really matter? Do the words of my mouth really matter? Does what I speak really have a bearing upon the direction of my life? Are the words of my mouth being productive, or are they being destructive in my life? I have read the meme, you know, on Facebook several times. We all know we have the right to remain silent, but we don't have the ability, right? So do the words of our mouth really matter? Let me answer that question with just a quick biblical answer. Yes, our words really do matter. Yes, our words and that which is spoken by our tongue absolutely do affect the direction of our lives. Yes, our words are absolutely powerful. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 12 and verse number 36, Jesus said, "But I say unto you," listen to this, "I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." He goes on to say in verse 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and thou shalt be condemned." So understand that Jesus is saying that our words are so important and so absolutely critical that there is coming a day when we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we will give an account of every word that we have spoken. I said our words are absolutely powerful. That is a sobering thought, that we will stand before the Lord and give account for every idle word. Words have power to encourage or discourage. Words have power to build someone up and power to tear someone down. Wife, you can either make or break your husband's confidence and self-worth by the power of your words. You can tell him that he is no good for nothing and that he's a schmuck, amen. Or you can tell him that he is your hero and he is your knight in shining armor, and he will do everything that he can to live up to your words. Husband, you can either make your wife feel like a queen, or you can make her feel completely inadequate and like a second-class citizen simply by your words. Mom, Dad, you can either, amen, tear your children down, or you can give them the tools to achieve and have success in their life simply by what you say to them and how you say it. Words matter. Words have absolute power to set the course and the direction of our life. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 11. The Bible said, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. What the writer is saying is that the right word at the right time to the right person is like a beautiful silver picture with incredible gold accents. How many have ever seen silver and gold that's all polished and brought together? It's gorgeous. How many of you like bling? It's beautiful. That's what the writer is telling us. He's telling us that a word fitly spoken is beautiful. It's encouraging. It makes a difference because it is absolutely powerful when received by someone. The words of our mouth have power to inspire and to encourage. The words of our mouth have power to stimulate and motivate and persuade. They have power to influence and empower both ourselves and those who are around us. Words have power to create and to destroy. The words of our mouth can either be for good or they can be for evil. But the Bible clearly teaches that our words have enormous power. Power to heal or power to wound, power to encourage or power to demoralize, power to speak the truth, power to deceive, power to praise, and power to criticize. But words have creative power. Let that sink into your spirit. Words have creative power. Can you show that in the scripture? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 3, the Bible said, through faith we understand that the worlds which we see were framed by the word of God. The world that is around us and the universe that is around us and the beautiful transformation of seasons and day and night and all of the things that are the universe, the stars that are in space and the planets that are everything that we see in this world was created by the word of God. Let me go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse number 3. This is what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. You remember reading that? And nothing happened. God's presence was there. The Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. His Spirit was there. His presence was there. And nothing happened until verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. I'm saying that there is creative power in the words. God created the universe by the words of his mouth. Jesus, we know, was born in Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary. We know that God said he would send a Messiah. But how did he send him? How did he accomplish getting the Word, who was eternal with God and was with God? How did he get the Word into this world? By his spoken Word. 700 years before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem, God spoke by the prophet Isaiah and said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive, and she shall bring forth a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. What are you saying, Pastor Gary? I'm saying the way that God accomplished getting Christ, amen, from the heavenly realm into this realm is by his spoken word. Words have power. Words have power. God sent his son in the fullness of time because of the prophetic word that was, amen, that was spoken by Isaiah 700 years before Christ ever came. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse number 11, this is God speaking. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God is saying that his spoken word is so powerful that it will not return void, but that it will accomplish, amen, and it will accomplish the things that he intends for it to accomplish. Now brace yourself, that same principle that God operates on, he has given to you and I. Hello? That same principle. You said all those things happened because God said it. Let me just share something with you this morning. That same principle that God operates on, he has given to you and I. You got to be kidding me. Pastor Gary, can you prove that with the Bible? I'm glad you ask. I could read it, I could quote it, but I want you to turn there and read it with me. Mark chapter 11, verse number 22 through verse number 24. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. I'm telling you that that same principle that God operates on, he has given that same principle for us to operate in. Let's read it together. Verse 22, Mark 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. And in the Greek, it literally means have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. And then he said, verily, verily, I say unto you that whosoever, everybody say whosoever means me. You're included. Whosoever shall do what? Shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, if we ever get that in our spirit, he is saying that if you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and if you don't doubt it in your heart, you will have whatever you say. I said he's given us that same principle to operate it. Our problem is we just don't take our authority and operate in it. Hello? Verse 24, Jesus puts it into action. He says, therefore, because I've said, verse 23, therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. That's a powerful, powerful statement. He has given us that same principle to operate in. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and if you doubt not in your heart, you will have whatever you say. I said there are absolute and is absolute power in our words. Let me give you some biblical examples. How many of you have ever read the story in 2 Kings chapter 4 about the little Shunammite woman? Have you ever read it? The Bible said that Elisha, the prophet, the man of God, came by one day and realized that she was barren and said, you're going to have a son. She did. And the Bible tells us that story in 2 Kings chapter 4. Read it in your devotion time. Amen. The Bible said that it came a day when that child was out in the field with his father. And he said, my head, my head. And he, amen. The father said, take him to his mama. And he got to his mama. And the Bible said that he sat in her lap until noon. And then he died. Now, many of you know that's a pretty serious situation. Here, mama is holding her sick little baby, and the baby died right in her arms. And here's what the Bible says that she did. She took that child, took him into where the man of God stayed when he traveled by, and she put him on the man of God's bed, and she said to one of the servants, get me, amen, a team of mules or something. I want you to take me to the man of God. I want you to take me to the prophet of God. Now look, here her baby is laying in a room. She closed the door, and he is dead as a doornail. And when Elisha saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, go find out if everything is okay. Amen. He said, is your husband all right? She said, it's all right. Are you all right? I'm all right. Amen. Is the child all right? And this is what she said. It shall be well. I said there's power in what you say. Now, how many of you know it wasn't very well at that moment? Her baby was laying back at home, dead on a bed, but she declared, it shall be. I know it ain't okay right now, but it shall be well. And if you read the end of that story, Elisha went and raised that child up from the dead by the power of God. And she got exactly what she said. Go with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, and you'll read a story about a little woman that had an issue of blood for 12 long years. Spent everything she had, seen many physicians, and wasn't getting any better, but rather grew worse. But the Bible says that she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment when he goes by, I know that I shall be made whole. How many of you know she got exactly what she said? What I'm saying this morning is if you ain't liking what you're getting, maybe you are saying the wrong stuff. Hello? I want you to understand there are power in your words. There are power in your words. Let me ask you a question this morning, and I'll just make this one more example of getting what you say. How were you saved? How did you come to Christ? How were you saved? According to Romans chapter 9 and verse number 10, or verse 9 and 10, this is what the Bible says. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying when you got saved, it was a two-step process. You had to believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, there's power in our words. And we need to understand that that word salvation includes freedom, victory, success, peace, healing, abundant life. Amen. How many of you here this morning want to have an abundant, victorious life? Then start saying what God says. I'm not talking about naming it and claiming it. I'm talking about getting it in your heart, getting it in your spirit. And when you believe it in your spirit and you say it with your mouth, your confession joins your faith. And there ain't a devil in hell that can keep it from coming to pass. I'm going to get excited in here in a minute. So why? Why does the tongue have this kind of power? Why does our tongue have this kind of power? I'm going to tell you the answer is found in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 34. This is what Scripture says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I don't have to talk with you very long to find out what's in your heart, because you will wind up saying what's in your heart, what's in your spirit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's a connection between our heart and our tongue. There is an umbilical cord. There is a lifeline between our heart and whatever comes out of our mouth and whatever we speak. Amen. Our confession joins what is in our heart, and it confirms our destiny. It confirms our destiny. Let me share with you some scriptures. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 2. This is what the writer of Proverbs says. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. The God's Word translation says, you are trapped by the words of your own mouth, and you are ensnared by your own words. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 21 in the King James, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. I could sit down right now. I've preached to you. I mean, I have. You ought to send me to Hawaii for just preaching that one verse. The power, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The God's Word translation said the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who talk or those who love to talk will eat their own words. Meaning that they who delight in constantly using their tongue, whether for good or for evil, they will experience the corresponding results, and they will eat the fruit of their own tongue. Well, let me just ask you this morning, what are you saying with your mouth? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23, whosoever guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Psalms 34, verse 11, the psalmist said, come, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires to have long life? And who would like to live a long and enjoyable life with good things? Here's how you do it, he says in verse 13. Keep your tongue from saying evil things and your lips from speaking deceitful things. In other words, watch what you say and put a guard on your mouth. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, Peter said, the people who want to live a full and good life with good days must keep their tongue from saying evil things and their lips from speaking deceitful things. Both the psalmist and Peter the apostle are telling us that if we love life and we desire to live a long and victorious life, then the way to do that is to watch what we say. Why? Because there is power in our tongue. James, our text, James chapter 3, verse 3 through 5, James says, behold, we put a bit in the horse's mouth, and we are able to turn that big animal with just a small bit. He said, behold, the ships also, though they are large and driven of fierce winds, and yet they are turned about with a very small rudder wherever the captain decides to go. James is saying that we can turn the horse with the bridle and we can turn the ship with a small rudder, and that our tongue is the steering wheel of our life. How many of you know the car will go the way you steer? Well, when you use your tongue for good, it steers you in the right direction. When you use your tongue for evil, it steers you in the wrong direction. It will set the course of your life. The same manner that the steering wheel determines the direction in our car, our tongue, amen, determines the direction of our life. Everything that comes out of our mouth makes an impression, and it leaves an influence in our life. Good, bad, positive, negative, faith, fear, health, sickness, abundance, lack, blessing or curse. Amen. What we need to understand this morning is that in order to walk in victory and manifest the blessings of God in our life, then we need to submit our tongue to the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and allow, amen, God's word to come out of our mouth, and God will confirm his own word through us. Don't get hung by your tongue. Some of us are tongue hung. We're living exactly what we are speaking. The problem is that we are speaking a bunch of negative junk in our life, and we don't even realize we are prophesying our future, because what you talk is what you are eventually going to walk. And far too often we are very overcritical of ourselves. I'll never measure up. I'll never get it right. I am broke. I've always been broke. I reckon I'll always be broke. Ain't no doubt in my mind. Hello? And we prophesy our own future. We prophesy what the world around us looks like by our own mouth. I guess I'll never get married. I'll never find the right one. Nothing in life good ever happens to me. I never have that kind of luck. I'll never get out of debt. I'll never get that job. I'll never get that promotion. Amen. And we just talk. And all of the negativity that comes out of our mouth is just solidifying the fact that we will never get that job, and we will never get that promotion, and we will never get out of debt because, amen, of the power of our own tongue. When people talk that way, they don't realize that they are hung by their own tongue. Negative, faithless words register deep in our hearts and in our minds, and we become brainwashed, and we end up limping through life with a defeated mentality filled with low self-worth and low self-esteem and diminished confidence. Amen. When God wants us to rise up and speak what he says about us and understand that God desires for us to have some victory in our life. Pastor Gary, can you give us a biblical example of negativity in our tongue? I sure can. How many of you remember when Moses sent in the 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan? All 12 of them went in. All 12 of them came back. 10 of them influenced a whole nation with their negative tongue. And the whole nation had to wonder for 40 years because they listened to somebody's words. Oh, there are giants over there. Yeah, it's a good land, but we'll never have it. Hello? Let me just tell you something this morning. Be careful who you allow to speak into your life. Be careful. Jesus said, take heed. Amen. How you hear, and take heed what you hear. Be careful who you allow to speak into your life, because you'll end up believing a lie and end up bound because of somebody else's words. Proverbs chapter 6, Remember, says that we become ensnared by the words of our own mouth. Remember that Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. He's saying that just the things that we speak have the power to bring direction to our life. James chapter 5 in our text. Chapter 3, verse 5, says, even so, the tongue is a little member. It's just a little member in the whole body, but it boasts great things, and behold, what a great matter a little fire kindleth. What he's saying is that one match can destroy a forest. He's saying that one spark can burn down acres and acres of land. How many of you know that a cow knocking over the lantern in 1858 started the Great Chicago Fire? One lantern ended up burning down a whole city. What seems to us at times as harmless words can devastate and destroy friendships and families and marriages and churches. Amen. Amen. The tongue is such a small member, but amen, if we allow it, it can set us on a course for destruction. I find it absolutely ironic that when God established his church, the first thing that he wanted to do on the day of Pentecost was get control of our tongue. Hello? You remember reading in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as of fire. Now, how many of you know James said that our tongue, amen, was set on fire of hell? How many of you know you can put out a fire by starting a backfire? Hello? Well, cloven tongues, like as a fire, descended upon them and set down upon them, and they all began to speak with another tongue as the Spirit of God gave utterance. I find it amazing when God got ready to establish his church and set it on the right course, he said, the first thing that I want to get a hold of is your tongue. Amen, amen, amen. God knew if he could take control of our mouth, he could have control of our whole body. James says that the tongue is a fire, and it was set on fire of hell. But God started a backfire. Our tongue is not only powerful in our life, but it can be productive and destructive in the lives of others. James 3 and 8 of our text says, the tongue no man can tame. Well, then we're without hope, right? The tongue no man can tame. No, we need to put our tongue under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We need to put our tongue under the influence of God's presence. He said, it is a ruling evil full of deadly poison. The scripture says that the tongue is full of deadly poison. The tongue has the power to be productive or destructive. I don't know who coined the phrase, but somebody, you know, when I was a child said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie. A broken arm will heal in about 6-8 months. But there are people that are here today and even in this room that are still suffering from a tongue lashing. Wounds of the heart. People to this day that I know are still injured from what someone said. Pastor Gary, how can we guard against what our mouth says? How can we guard ourselves against what we say about others? Let me give you five practical questions to ask yourself before you speak. James said, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Let me give you five very practical things that we need to ask ourselves. And if we can't say yes to all five of these, we just need to hush. Hello? The King James, husheth up thou. So here are five very practical things. Number one, before we share any information, we need to ask ourselves, is it true? Is it true? I know some true stuff about folks that I wouldn't dare share, even though it's true. The second thing I need to ask myself before I share, is it necessary? Is it necessary? Most of the time, the battle ends right there. It's not necessary. We could just zip it right there. It's not necessary. Maybe true, but it's not necessary. The third thing, is it beneficial? If you can get past is it true and is it necessary, then you come to the third one, is it beneficial? Who's it going to help and who is it going to injure? Hello? Number four, do I have permission to share it? Most of the time, no. Number five, is my motive pure? Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it beneficial? Do I have permission to share it? Amen. Is my motive pure? Or am I just gossiping about somebody else? If you can't answer yes to all five of those questions, then just don't speak. Don't have anything to say on the matter. Don't have anything to say on the situation. Amen. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it beneficial? Do I have permission? And is my motive pure? You know, sometimes we share things under the guise of, you know, a prayer request. Hello? Well, I'm really not talking about them. However, they really need prayer. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You have the power this morning in your tongue to be productive or destructive. In your own life and in the lives of those that are around you. The real truth is that the words of our own mouth can bring success or failure, strength or weakness, victory or defeat. The words of our own mouth can bring, amen, a happy home that is filled with love or a home that is filled with contention and misery. Be careful what you say. The truth is that our words and the words of our mouth can either bring freedom, bondage, health, or sickness, faith, fear, provision, or hardship, or discouragement, or, amen, an uplifted spirit in the Lord. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about closing this service. I challenge you for the next 72 hours. Be mindful of what you say and just see if it doesn't make a difference in your life. Amen. When the enemy whispers you will never make it and you are not enough, let the confession of your mouth be, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When the enemy whispers you're defeated and you are, amen, you're nothing but a mess, let your confession be, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let your confession be, I have been adopted into the family of the living God. Let your confession be, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And determined to speak faith-filled, positive word and just see if it doesn't make a difference in your life. Speak to your body Speak health and life to your body. Tell your body, I am the healed of the Lord. Amen. By his stripes, I am healed. I am strengthened. I am well. I am strong. In my weakness, he is made perfect. Amen. Speak the words of joy and hope concerning your future. Amen. And about everything that affects your life. It may be a little bit difficult at first, but put a guard at your mouth and let the Holy Spirit take control and speak what God speaks about you. Let me just share some scripture with you, closing, food for thought on the way out. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his own heart. And that person's religion is vain. Proverbs 29 and 20. Do you see a man who is hasty in words? There is more hope for a fool than for that man. Proverbs 15 and 4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is the breaking of the spirit. A gentle tongue will be a tree of life to you. But perverse words, negative, faithless words, will be the breaking of your spirit. Proverbs 13 and 3. Whoever controls his mouth protects his life. I love this. Whoever has a big mouth comes to ruin. Our words are the key to our victory or our defeat. What are you saying about your life, about your marriage, about your children, about your finances, about your health, about your employment? And on and on and on we could go. Every area of your life. Are you prophesying good and victory coming down the road? Or are you speaking words of defeat and prophesying your own failure? Speak words of life and not death. Speak words of faith and not fear. Speak words of victory and not defeat. Speak words of blessing and not cursing in your life. Bow your heads, please. All over the building, if you would, bow your heads. There is absolute power in your mouth. Absolute power in your mouth. Let me give you one quick biblical example. Paul and Silas are sitting in prison with blood running down their backs in Acts chapter 16. They are bound in the inner prison. And the Bible said at midnight they prayed and they began to sing praises unto God with the words of their mouth. And God came on the scene and shook that place with an earthquake and set them free. Let me just tell you this morning, there's an earthquake in your mouth. There's a victory in your mouth. You just have to believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Say to the mountain that is in front of you this morning, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that the thing that you have said will come to pass. And Jesus said, you shall have it. I haven't preached to you my words this morning. I have preached to you the words of the Word of God. Let the words that come forth out of your mouth be victory. Let the words that come out of your mouth be words of faith. Let your confession join your belief in your heart. Let me just say something to you this morning. Get up in the morning and tell the devil, I am going to be victorious. That doesn't mean I ain't going to have problems, but I'm going to come out on top. I'm going to come out the winner. Let your ears hear what you say. It will have an impact upon your heart. It will make an impression in your spirit. And it will change your destiny. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Father, in the precious name of our wonderful Savior Jesus, my Lord, I'm so grateful for your goodness and your mercy and for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I sensed as we have preached your word. Thank you for enabling me, giving me liberty. Now, the words that have been spoken, only you, O Father, can empower them in the hearts of these that hear. Let your word become a revelation. Let it become a living rhema word in their heart. Let it so impact their spirit that we leave this place changed by the power of your word. I ask in Jesus' name, touch now, bless now. Let your word be rooted and grounded in our heart, and we will thank you for it in Christ's name. Every head is bowed, every eye is still closed. How many of you here this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I didn't even realize it. I didn't even recognize it, but I've been saying some stuff that I don't want to come to pass. Yeah, God sees hands going up here and there, 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 there. Pastor Gary, I didn't even realize it, but I've been saying stuff in a negative, faithless kind of way. I won't change the way I speak. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to say what God says. Moving forward, I want the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be pleasing unto you, O God. Thank you, Lord. Stand to your feet all over the building. We've had hands that have been lifted. Let me pray with them, and then we'll have the singers come to sing. Lord, I thank you for lifted hands. I thank you for just being a God that's gracious enough to show us the error of our way. When our steering wheel, our tongue wants to take us off course, you are gracious and you are full of mercy and you are willing to speak to us and bring us back to our own lane, our own turn, in the right path where we're supposed to be. Now, Lord, you have seen the hands, and I pray that you will supernaturally empower those that have recognized the error of their way. Touch them this morning, I ask. Hallelujah. And Lord, we will forever give you the praise and forever give you the thanks. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on.